We thank you for the choir that told us that we are going to spend all of our days with you, God. We thank you, God, that it was the cross for us when nothing else could help. Your love lifted us. We thank you for them reminding us that it's the name of Jesus that we call on in the times of trouble. That it's the name of Jesus that's helped us through trial and tribulation. The name of Jesus has healed us, saved us, and delivered us. We thank you that we're able to celebrate that name. From this day forth, our mouths shall be filled with praise according to that name. Now, God, we come to this place. You've given the message. Now, we pray, God, in the delivery that it would be received with faith. We pray, God, that it would lift the spirits of those who are down, encourage those who are weak, and challenge those who are comfortable. We ask and pray, God, that you would extract out of this vessel of clay all that you have ordained for this day and this moment. We ask these things now in Jesus' holy name. Amen. 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 I want to call your attention to Psalm 119, verse number 73. And if I had to tag this text, it would probably go along with a series. I noticed that as we're looking back over the past few weeks, the messages have really been dealing with trouble, trials. And so if I just had to tag this text in this series, I would just call it the Help Me Get Up series. Amen. For those who are down, the Help Me Get Up series. Amen. Psalm 119, 73, I'm still thinking about Job, says, thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause. But I will meditate on thy precepts. Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies. Verse 80, let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. You may be seated. If you can remember this particular thought, is where we want to really deal with today. Hang on to your towel. Hang on to your towel. In other words, don't throw in your towel just yet. Amen. 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 Look at your neighbor as a neighbor. Amen. It may be dark today. But whatever you do, hang on to your towel. Amen. If you're going to do that, give God some praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, don't y'all go to sleep just yet. Amen. But when you hear the words, hang on, hold on in there, keep going, don't quit, keep pushing, praying until something happens, stay in there. We've all heard those words from time to time, haven't we? People have told us those things in times and seasons in our life where things were dark and dreary, and sometimes we could not even see how we were going to get out of those things. Those seasons where you know what you're looking for, and you're certain that what you're looking for is exactly what you need. You are in a relationship with Christ, and so therefore you have a covenant, And God is in covenant to do things in your life because you know him. You not only have the covenant relationship, you have also been duly filled with the Holy Spirit. So not only do you have relationship, you have present power in your experience. But here is the reality, that even as you have relationship, and even as you have the presence of power, you are in a place right now. You are in one of those, I know what I've got, and I know what I've been promised, but I ain't got it yet. Let me help you understand what I'm saying. When I say, I know what I got and I know what's been promised, but I ain't got it yet, it's like your daddy putting something in the mail, and he has already stamped it and sent it your way. But you are in the space where even as it has been sent, the mailman has yet to deliver it. Now you understand what I'm saying. That there you are in the darkest of night, in the most futile place of your experience, and to have something that has been sent your way, but you don't feel the presence of it just yet. Well, here it is. You've got the promise in your life today. You've got the promotion and the progression. But right now, somebody in this room would say, Pastor, even as I have the promotion, the progression, and the prosperity, I've also got the pain. I've also got the affliction. I've also got the loneliness. I've also got the depression. I've also got all of those things in my life. I've got the blessing of God, and I've got the weight of the world as I wait. I've got the W-E-I-G-H-T as I W-A-I-T on the Lord. Are y'all in here? Am I in the right house? Maybe everything is good in your corner. Maybe this one's just for me and a few of us up here in the pulpit and choir stand. But for those of you who don't mind being real today, there are more times than not, especially in this season of our lives, that we can say for surety that we know what the promises of God are, and we've read that they are yea and amen, but we're in the place where we're wondering, where are they? And here, I've come to tell you that whatever you're going through, don't throw in the towel. Because here's the reality, my friend, my brother, and sister. You are in a most difficult place right now. You're in the place where there may be persistent affliction and promise of abundance. Doesn't make sense, does it, that you have persistent affliction, trouble that does not forget your address. And at the same time, you got the favor of God on your life. This towel in your hand, you got it right there. You're holding it by the end. You're ready to throw it in and say, I give up on tomorrow. I give up on the relationship. I give up on faith. I give up on my children. I give up on the church. I give up on this. I give up on that. I've been in the storm too long. But can I encourage you that you're in a good place, that God is blessing your life? And I saw this quote and I said I was going to share with you. Henry Ford, the great automaker, said this. He said, patience is the ability to idle your engine when you feel like stripping all of your gears. When you feel like pulling all of your hair out. When you feel like choking the life out of that baby that you brought in the world. When you feel like walking out of your house and never coming back. Walking out of your job and walking out of the ministry and leaving the church. He says patience is being able to idle your motor and wait on a change when you feel like stripping all your gears. Anybody ever been there? I've been there. I've been there. You feel like all is lost. But here it is. I begin to see this, that when you are in that place, that there are two battles you got to win. The first battle you got to win is within yourself. This battle is very important, because in this battle, you got to wrestle with your faith in whether you believe that God is going to come through on what he has promised. Now, let me help you there. Those who are waving, the Bible says this. It says that God is not a man that he should lie, or the son of man that he should repent. And then the prophet said that when God speaks, who can tell God, no, it's not going to happen. And when God says what he says, he does not back up off anything that he puts out there. So what you got to be able to do is you got to conquer in your mind that God is God. Have I got a witness in here? You got to have that in your own self. You got to know that God's word is his bond. There are a lot of people who are going to tell you they're going to be there, baby. I'll be there with you till it's all said and done. I'll be there to ashes and dust. And then tomorrow, in a short little while, you can't find them. They no longer answer your calls. They don't send you a Twitter message or Instagram. They don't respond to Facebook. They don't answer anything you send out. And you're wondering where they are. But you got to win this battle in your mind. But the second battle is a little bit difficult, because once you have defeated it in your own mind, you got to deal with this glass house. Oh, you got to deal with this glass house. That is the part of life where your church pew member gets to watch you go through some of the darkest seasons of your life. That is where the world turns its eyes and attention on us as we go through suffering, and they say, let's see how they deal with it. And then not only that there are people even that are sitting next to you smiling right now, that as you're going through and you're in this glass house, they're looking at you, they are skeptical, and they're questioning your spirituality. You know how we do. If she was so saved and sanctified, she wouldn't be going through all that. If he was who he said he is, he wouldn't have all of that drama in his. You know how we do. Y'all might as well be real. And there's somebody in here that's done that to somebody else. You watch people go through the storm, and we question how strong is their relationship with Christ. And you know, Pastor Cole, I discovered that there are some things in life I've had to deal with that I would have been okay if I had been able to go through it without other folks seeing me. You know, if God would just usher us into another room and let us suffer in silence and by ourselves, I would not have so much of a problem. But because he puts us on display like he did Job. He says, come here, son, daughter, and let me put you on Front Street and let everybody watch me. Let the devil break you down, and then I'm going to build you up. But you've got to go through the process of living in this glass house. If I could do it in a corner, I wouldn't have a problem. But because I got to stand in the pulpit every Sunday and keep preaching, it's problematic. That line up with my theology, because I've got to keep serving. I've got to keep standing on the usher board. I've got to keep singing. I've got to keep praying. I've got to keep serving in the midst of what I'm going through. I conquered it in my mind. But because other people are watching me, they're making judgments about where I am spiritually. Let me tell you, be careful about making judgments about where people are based on what they're going through, because you don't know what God is preparing them for. Amen. I said this once before, and I said again, There's a pastor who stood at Manpower several years ago, and all of these preachers showed up to wonder how they could have a big, gigantic church and a big name ministry. And he stood there flat-footed and said, "He that God will use greatly, he must crush him deeply." You have to come to the conclusion in your life that if God is going to extract greatness out of you, he's got to push all the mess out first. Hang on to your towel. I don't know who I'm talking to, but hang on to your towel, because you've got some challenges ahead. And here it is, that when you have gotten to this place, it is embarrassing and it's disappointing. You have revealed, you let people down, and you feel that others have let you down. If they really loved me, they wouldn't have let me fall. Let me tell you something. God teaches us something with our children, doesn't he? He teaches us that they really don't belong to us. Let me help you understand what I'm saying. Because see, after you give birth to them, you teach them how to walk. They go places you didn't tell them to go. And after you say goo goo ga ah, mama, dad dad, and they learn those words, they say some stuff later that you didn't tell them to say. And then you teach them with their little hands to do those things that bring God glory. But after they learn that, they learn some other stuff that they do that you did not teach them to do. And God teaches us that we've got to put them in his hands. Anybody ever had some children get in some stuff that you didn't teach in your house? That you didn't condone and you wasn't okay with, but yet they got involved with it. And what you had to discover is that God wants a relationship with all of us, but how he goes about it is his own business. That's right. Get in some stuff you can't get them out of. They get off in some stuff you cannot pay them out of. And God said, "No, I'm teaching you, they belong to me. I loaned them to you, but you had to give them back because they are mine. And I want a relationship with them, and I'm going to put them in some binding places." That's right. So that I can let them know who I am. Don't try to get your babies out of everything. That's right. Mama, don't try to pay them out of everything. That's right. Sometimes you're crippling their progress. That's right. That's right. And their development in what God would have them to be. You did not get to where you are without falling down and bruising your knee. You did not get to where you are without having some bumps in the road. So don't cripple them by trying to smooth out their way. They got to go through the process. And that's what the writer here is. He gives us in Psalm 119. By the time we enter this text here, we're in the 10th octave. Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the book of the Bible. 176 verses, 28 verse octaves or stanzas that he gives us here. In the 10th one, it is an inverted octave, which means that the heart of the message is in the middle and it works its way outward from there. The inward part of it is that he gives us, first of all, a plea in the middle of his plight. This writer, of whom we don't have an author that's listed, we do know this, that whoever it is going through some pain in their life. And what I saw in this is that many times pain doesn't have a name because it applies to all of us. Anybody in here ever been exempted all your life from pain? Wave your hand because I want to see you. But for the rest of us in here, we've all had some low moments. We've all had some, I'm throwing in the towel days. Well, here the writer gives us a plea in the middle of our plight. He says this, he says, "I pray, Lord, that your merciful kindness, your grace, be a comfort to me according to the word you have given thy servant." It's interesting that he pleads from the perspective of one who has a relationship prior to the storm arriving. My grandmother used to always say, "You can't wait till the storm comes to find an umbrella." You ought to know where it is every day. You ought to know where you put it and where you can get it in a moment's notice before the storm arrives. And the problem many of us have is that we wait until the storm comes to start praying and to start pleading with God. But here the psalmist says that he is a servant to whom the Lord has made a promise. And he pleads from the perspective of God's steadfast and unfailing love. Don't you know that grace is great for every groan? It's able to comfort. And then mercy is a ministry in your misery. Because it is the compassion of God giving you what you don't deserve. And in the psalmist writing to this God that he believes in and has faith in and he trusts in, he says, "Thy merciful kindness be comfort to me, and tender mercies come unto me that I may live." I need to be able to survive what I'm going through. I need to be able to see tomorrow. I need to be able to get through this. I need to be able to live after this. God, be merciful. He says, "Be merciful unto me because I love what you love. I love to obey your commandments." My wife and I, we were having a conversation on the way to church this morning. We were talking about how God's grace works. God has blessing upon blessing for all of us in this room. But don't you know that when you pay attention to what makes God happy, when you follow God's statutes and God's commandments, that you open many more doors that are not open to just every average Joe? In other words, God woke all of us in here up this morning. He put food on most of all of us table. But then there are some other things that we have opened for ourselves because we are in pursuit of him on a daily basis. Psalmist makes a plea in the midst of his plight. In verses 76 and 77, he tells us that God is merciful. And he pleads with God's mercy in the midst of what he's going through. But then not only that, we see that pain is prescribed in verse 75. It says there that you are right, Lord. Your judgments are right. In other words, what God allows, he does not make any mistakes. And then he also goes and adds this part to it too, that even in our affliction, there is the presence of God's faithfulness. How often is it that we see that in the midst of those things that we're suffering, that God is faithful in the midst of those things? In other words, what he says is that God sometimes uses trouble to bless us. You go back up to verse 71, he says that it is good for me that I have been afflicted. I ain't never said that. Never crossed my mind that it's good for me to go down. It's good for me to be bowed over. It's good to me to be made a laughing stock, to be humiliated before men. It's good to me to be afflicted. Because in the process of my bending and my bowing, I have learned something about God. And so he says that is a prescription from the Lord. Don't dismiss all of the pain in your life. There are some pain that God has brought specifically to you in the season where you are because it is designed to grow you. He says it is prescribed. But not only is there a pain that's prescribed, there is a pain that is presented to you. You didn't ask for. It's found in verse number 78. This is when it gets difficult. Here the psalmist says that there are people who use falsehood. Y'all ever had anybody lie? Use perverse actions to get him on the hook, to get him in trouble, to try to write them out and to write them off. He says that there were my enemies that tried to handle me, and they were proudly standing over me. And he says, God, rather than get them back, I'm going to turn my attention to your word. If I had followed this at every part of my life where I've been in this situation, I'd be a lot better off. Where I've gotten in trouble is that when I've been wronged. I want to get back. I want to get revenge. Anybody ever feel like that? You want to get revenge and you want to tell them off. You want to get them told. You want to punch them in the mouth. You want to strangle them. You want to do more, all you can to them. But here's the reality. He says that God, I'm putting them in your hands because you know how to bring the haughty down and you know how to bring up the humble. So what I want to know is that in the middle of what they're doing, I'm not even going to focus on them. Let me turn my attention over here to what your word says. You inform my actions because I don't want to represent you in the wrong way. How many times have we gotten in trouble because we were not the initiator but the responder? He says, let them be ashamed, for they came without a cause. They had no reason come against you. But he says, I will meditate on the word of God. Amen. But not only do we see this pain is presented, he says that there's a shout about steadfastness. Mm-hmm. Says to us in verse 74, they that fear you will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. How many of you in here can say, and you're not ashamed to rave your hands, I got trouble in my life? You're in verse 74. Because what should happen is what he says, that there ought to be a shout about somebody's steadfastness. Baby, you got all that stuff going on in your life, but you are present in the house. That means that you're holding on, that you're hanging in there, and we celebrate your survival for another day. Oh, y'all missed your shouting cue. Maybe it's not you that's in the midst of trouble, but the psalmist says that all of those who respect and reverence the name of God, when they see those who have gone through trial this week and tribulation last week, when you walk through the door, it ought to make somebody glad. That our God is faithful and that he brought you another week and another day. And baby, if I can get close enough to you, I just tell you, hold on. But what we do is we don't do that. We see them come in and we say, look at her dragging in here. And sometimes you don't know what all it took just to drag in here. How long it took to put a makeup on? How long it took to get a hair presentable? How long it took to find clothes to wear? Because of all the hell, and then you come with what you got. Psalmist says that they who are in the spirit, and let me help you who are in places where you've been met with that other crowd. You got to understand, everybody in church ain't saved. And if you mess around and meet the wrong devil on your way in here, it'll mess up your whole day. But if you run into a saint that's been through trial and tribulation themselves, it makes their heart leap for joy on the sight of those who are going through, because they're saying, baby, you're making it some kind of way. And if anybody asks, I don't mind telling them, baby, it's by the grace of God in my life. Anybody getting by on grace? Here is what he says. He says, they are rejoicing because your hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. You are there not trusting any other thing, but wholly leaning and depending on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, you're standing. All other, y'all ain't gonna say nothing. All other ground is sinking sand. And there have been times in my life, it was all I could do was to get in the house. But once I got in here, I came with my headache. I came with my heartache. And you know what he did? He let me run into somebody that said, I had a bad week last week, but I made it. And it encouraged me to stay fast and to keep praying and to keep trusting. And sooner or later, he turned that thing around and he's going to do it for somebody in here today. Yeah, it's dark, but we're glad to see you. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm glad you're here. You don't know who you just encouraged. look the other direction and say, baby, I'm glad you're here. I don't know what it took to bring you, but I'm glad you're here. You don't know who you're encouraging to come back next Sunday and the Sunday after that. Because what he wants us to understand right here is that we all struggle. You may have two cars a day and I may not have none. But keep living. Life has a way. My mama used to tell us, boy, be careful how you treat folk on your way up. Y'all had a mama tell you that too. She said the same folk that you're looking past on your way up are going to be the same folk you pass on your way down. And life has a way that we don't stay all of our time on the mountaintop. But every now and then all of us will visit the valley. And when you're in the valley, you need some folk that are going to be thankful and bless the Lord because you're still hoping in the Word. Amen. And what you're saying when you hope in the Lord is not so much about your circumstance.
That's right.
It may not change. But one thing you do know, the Lord who has spoken, as I told you earlier, is not short of his word.
That's right.
And because you remember what he said, You don't lose heart.
Right.
You don't lose faith. You remember the disciples and Jesus were on a boat going across to the other side. And when he told them, let us go to the other side. The Bible says they got in the middle of the lake. And there was a storm that came up. And they got frustrated. They got a little bit out of whack. But they had to remember that he did tell us while we were still on land that we were going to the other side. Somebody in here needs to know that you're going to the other side. I know right now you may feel you're not going past the middle of your pain, but you will arrive at where God wants you to be.
That's right.
Shout for steadfastness. Not only that, we see that there is a synchronizing of the saints in the sanctuary. Now watch verse 79. He says that those that fear thee again turn to me. He says, and those that have known thy testimonies, there is a renewal of fellowship. Hebrews 10, 24, 25 tells us that we are not to forsake the assembling together of ourselves, but that we are to gather together and encourage one another, even more so as we see the day approaching. And here he says to us that there are those when we gather that also know something about the mercy of God, that have an experience and a testimony concerning the Lord. And we ought to be in sync with those who line up with what God's testimony is. We ought to be in line with those who know something about the Word of God. And then he says, lastly, that we see the reason why we're able to hold on to our time is because verse 73 says to us that there is a divine design on your life.
That's right.
I rejoice when I read verse 73 because it reveals the definition of my experience. He says the Lord's hands have made us and he is the one that fashioned us.
Amen.
Don't you know you got to realize that God's purpose is based on God's design in your life. His wisdom is intact. He did not make a mistake. He designed you for his purpose. He fashioned you. He formed you in his image. And then the CV version says that he created us and put us together. You may feel like a bunch of broken pieces, but he made you what he made you. You may feel like everything in your life is falling apart, but God puts you together the way he did. He gives us this encouragement. And he says that even our thorns are part of God's design. There's a part of you that wishes that some things were not present, but that's a part of God's divine design. God brought those things either to keep you humble or to keep you in the right path and frame of mind. But before you reject it, you must ask yourself the question, Am I using even those things to make me wiser about the commandments of God? In other words, in God's specific divine design, there is expectation that God has for our lives. He says, give me wisdom, make me wise in understanding what is the Lord's will and not just my wishes. And then verse 80, he says this, let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. May I be found blameless and shameless. Don't let my testimony be one that's vain, that I can only testify about God's goodness and God's mercy when things are working well in my life. It says that I want to pursue holiness in my life. I want to be set apart and concerned about what pleases Christ. And I want to have integrity in my testimony. Having truly escaped the bondage of sin and the filthiness of the world, you're becoming sound and shameless. So shout, celebrate, and lift your voice. Call on the name of Jesus. And love the Lord and trust him with all of your heart. We learn the difference between shamed and ashamed. Jesus was shamed before men so that he could be exalted for all eternity. There are times we're going to be shamed before men, but we're also going to be glorified with him when he returns. The things that you are experiencing now are challenging you to hang on to that towel. But can I tell you to hang on to that towel for this reason? And I say this and I'm done. Hang on to that towel because that towel has the very fabric of your mantle. The mantle of God, the things that have come to you because of the Spirit's gifting in your life, are incorporated in everything that you experience. See, you are rejecting those things that pertain to pain. And you're saying, toss it in. But it perhaps is your mantle that God is going to use to elevate you to the call he has on your life. Right now, you're worried about surviving the storm, the season, the affliction in your life. But know that there is a season beyond this, a season of recovery and restoration, of reviving and refreshing, of replenishing and revisiting. I know you feel that this is the worst season of your life for someone in this room, but hang on to your towel because God is not through with you yet. When he is done with you, you shall come forth as pure gold. And then never forget that you have some twins that walk with you every day of your life. You got Grace on one side that gives you everything that you need. And you got Mercy on the other side, keeping you from everything that God wants you preserved from. And as long as you've got the presence of God and those twins, you will survive. You will get through. You will make it. You will live. You will thrive again. God has promised such if you just hold on. Through this dark night, God has a brighter day on the horizon. The psalmist says that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Can I tell you, Hopewell, it's morning time. Right. It's time to open our mouth and rejoice in the middle of what you're going through, in spite of what you're going through, in the place that God has called us in the sanctuary. Lift your voice and let it be heard that I'm a child of God. Yes, I've got some scars. Yes, I've got some stains. Yes, I've got a past. Yes, I've had some sin. I've had some depression. I've had some despair. But I've got grace and I've got mercy. And don't you quit watching me today, because today is not the last day of the rest of my life. God's got greater in store for me. And neighbor, he's got greater in store for you. How do you know he's got greater in store for you? Well, one Friday, when we were lost in sin, the word tells us he died on a cross and they buried him in a borrowed tomb. He stayed there 3 days and 3 nights. But early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hands. If you ask me, that's how I know that he loves me. That's how I know that I'm going to make it. He who spared not his own son, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? I told you a few months ago, he put everything in the same bag. Every ounce of joy, it's in that bag. Every ounce of peace, it's in that bag. You might as well go on and get out of yourself and get out of your feelings today and rejoice in the Lord, because this is the day the Lord has made. You got to tell yourself that I will. Don't look at your neighbor. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make a boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, come, let us magnify the Lord. Let us exalt his name together. Don't you know it's Sunday morning? It's exalting time. Somebody needs to know that Jesus is the reason, not just for this season, but every season of our life. Whatever you're going through, call on his name. Call on his name. He will answer you by and by. Something about this name of Jesus, the demons still tremble. Something about this name, Jesus, that causes sickness to flee. Something about this name, Jesus, that brings peace to a troubled mind. Something about this name, Jesus, still heals and delivers. Cry, Jesus, when you're sick. Jesus, when you're lonely. Jesus, when you're depressed. Jesus, when you're in despair. Jesus, when you're broke. And Jesus, when you're rich. It's Jesus that we call on. I thank God for Jesus. Whatever you do, hope well. Hang on to your towel. God's getting ready to transfer power. Do you hear what I'm saying? Transfer power. He's getting ready to turn what you've been holding on to and about ready to toss. I told you it's a mantle. The Bible gives us the account of Elijah and Elisha. He had a mantle that was passed. And he said that you have to take it and throw it over your shoulders and begin to wear it. The same thing that you're getting ready to toss in is the fabric of God, what God is going to let you wear. And when folks look at that mantle, they're going to be able to see, oh, you were struggling right here. You had some pain. You had some heartache right here. You had this. You had that. Why are you wearing this? And you'll be able to tell them that this mantle not only represents every day of my pain, every aspect of all the trouble and trials that I had to go through, but it's also a demonstration of the power that God has assigned to me. See, your assignment requires everything you're going through right now. Do you hear what I'm saying? Your assignment from the Lord requires everything you're going through right now. And one day you're going to wear what God has called you to wear. And I believe in that day, God will allow you to forget all the pain, all the heartache, and just simply rejoice that you made it. And that there's something of profit and substance in your life. I want to extend an invitation right now for all of those persons that we've talked to today. If you can say that I'm one of those people, Pastor, that I wanted to throw in the towel. I was this close. Doesn't matter what it was about. Can you come to the altar? Can you meet us at the altar? I was about to throw in the ministry. I was about to take my own life. You need to be at the altar. To our prayer council, our ministers, you got an assignment today. For everybody that comes, I want you praying with them. Because this is very serious. We don't really know how close these individuals have come. But I want to say this. You need the grace of God if you will go another step from this place and from this moment. You need to experience the power of God's Holy Spirit active in your life. If you're lost and you don't have a relationship with Christ, you need to come to this altar. He wants to strengthen your life. He wants to forgive you of your sins. He wants to put you on the path that His divine purpose has prepared for you. Why don't you come? Maybe you're here and there are things in your life that you don't understand. You're not in the place where you're getting ready to give up. You're just in the place where you're not fighting. You have resolved that this is how it's going to be, and I'm just going to stay here and suffer through it. You don't have to do that. You need to fight your way through by the Spirit of God. There's a measure of grace that's available to you. Folks, we need all of the saints in this room praying right now. In your own way, in your own. We need to be praying for those who are wrestling, who are still in their seats. That they can find the assurance that God is with them in their struggle. I believe that this is that Sunday that we need to labor until somebody gets their breakthrough.
Lord, I worship you.
They're on the edge. They're sitting on the fence. We don't want them to go over. We're not going to lose another soul. Not going to lose another life to the world. Maybe you need to be at the altar for someone in your family that lives on your street that's broken. And you know that they're about to give up. Listen, I need to say this. Perhaps there's someone who's here, and the enemy is trying to convince you that there's a glass ceiling concerning the favor of God in your life that you're not going to be able to break. He's trying to tell you that you have gone as far as he's going to let you go. But you need to declare by the Spirit of God that he is not the one who calls the shots in your life. That you will go as high as God is willing to carry you. And every door that God wants open in your life, you're going to walk through that. You can believe the lie of the enemy if you want to today. But I want to challenge you that if you're that person, to make your way to the altar. Don't let the devil put you in a box that this is all that you can expect out of life. You want the fullness, the width, and the breadth of everything that God has promised. You don't have to settle for anything less. But you gotta move in accordance with the Spirit of God. And I promise you this, every step you take by faith, God will give you the grace to make another one and to make another one and to make another one. But you got to move from where you are. You got to open your mind right now to receive even what I'm saying to you right now by the Spirit of God. He's able.
Jesus, it's because of who, nobody but you, Lord, I worship you, Jesus, keep on making a way out of no way, Lord, I worship you, Jesus, it's because of who. Jesus, I give you glory, I give you glory, Lord, I worship you, Lord, I worship you, Jesus, I give you the glory, I give you the honor, I give you the praise. Jesus, it's because of who, because of who, because of who you are. Can nobody do me like Jesus? Oh, I worship you, Jesus. Jesus.